Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, folks, we are towards the end of June now. The weather is really hot here in the Northeast, and the Giants are kind of on hiatus. So Chris and I were kind of kicking around what to talk about tonight, and, well, Chris, take it away, buddy.
So I'm thinking about, you know, because Jerry, this is the true downtime of the National Football League. You know, mini camp ends, mandatory mini camp ends up until obviously training camp. So, and there's always some tweaks to the roster. Giants signed the UFL guy, running back, all that stuff. There's always a little, maybe some tweaks here and there, but it's the downtime. You know, guys like Shane Dable, they go on vacation. You know, a lot of people are out of the building and all that stuff. So, So I said, you know what? Let's have some fun. You know, what we're going to do is, Jerry, you know, we're going to have a guy that one of our followers that kind of caught our eye, you know, and he's going to be on tonight. We'll talk to him. We'll do that a few times these next 6 weeks until training camp, right? Or five, whatever it is now.
Yep.
I'll have a few people on, get to know some people. And then, you know, Jerry, I'm thinking this afternoon, I'm saying, you know what? The Giants are celebrating their 100 year anniversary, right? 100, they're going to celebrate top 100 players. Talk, they have a list. I don't know for a fact. They have a list, all that stuff. So I said, you know what? I'm thinking this afternoon. I said, I'm going to run this by Jerry. First, I was going to text you, Jerry. I was going to say, Jerry, how about we do the top 10 Giants, who we feel is the top 10 Giants from when they turned it around in 84 until the current, obviously, time. And I said, you know what? Jerry's so damn good at this. He remembers years and numbers and players off rosters. Like, boom. You are so much better than me at this. I mean, I can't remember guys from 2 years ago sometimes on a roster. And you'll be like from 1983 going, oh, yeah, number 65. He ran the ball 15 times for 70 yards in the third quarter. And I'm like, you know, this guy's like the rain. I can't remember 2 years ago. So, Jerry, you're so much better. So I said, you know what? I'm going to pop this on Jerry at the last second. I said, you know what? We'll have some fun with it. Who do you think is the top 10 Giants? Of course, we're going to leave out some guys, and people are going to be like, oh, you got, of course it's going to happen, right? Except for one guy we're all going to agree on.
Yes.
Right, so we'll have some fun with it, dude. So what do you think? And of course, folks, Jerry, literally about 15 minutes ago, text me, he goes, hey, Chris, what do you think about doing the top 10 Giants? And I'm like, dude, you read my effing mind. So we're going to have a guy, Dan Mann, on who caught our eye, you know, and, very a loyal follower and really seems to be a very knowledgeable follower. We're going to have him on later on the show, special guest. We're going to have some more people on during this downtime before, you know, camp kicks up. And once camp kicks up, it's all football. You know that. So, Jerry, let's get it going, bro. I figure in from 1984 when they turned the tide, the first playoff year, Parcells' second year, they draft some tomato named Banks. And they turn around, playoffs three straight years, Super Bowl, ending in the Super Bowl in 86. So, dude, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
What do you
think?
So, the top 10, let's have some fun with it. I've been going back and forth a little bit, Jerry. Number one, obviously, we're not going to rank it. We'll just do the top 10. But Jerry is one guy I think we're going to agree on is the greatest of all time. And I don't think he needs any introduction. Lawrence Taylor, right? Dude, I think we could agree that maybe Lawrence Taylor is going to make this list. What do you think?
Yes. And it's funny because I don't want to rank them, but I realize that by my naming them, I may end up ranking them, but yes, it's not really that. It was so funny because I just thought, and I didn't say it to Chris, but I'm thinking, I'm not going to put like Frank Gifford on that list and Mel Hine and Ward Cuff and all these guys that are like here. I never saw them play. So I kind of I got to go by what I saw. Right.
Like I said, we'll go, Jerry, you know, we picked it up. I got just a few years on you, but it's got 20 years on you. I saw guys in the 60s. I got a few years. So we're going to kick it off.
Yeah.
Basically our era, you know, beginning in the 80s.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. When they turn it around to now, four Super Bowls, right? Four Super Bowls, Jerry.
Yep.
Top 10 guys in those periods. Lawrence Taylor, Jerry, we know that is definitely on the list. I think he deserves it. What do you think?
I think so. I think he was decent. He literally was the guy that we drafted who absolutely turned the franchise around. Insane. Absolutely insane. Yes, number one. And he's the only one where it's like, there's never a debate. When even like you say, give me the Mount Rushmore of Giants. It's like, okay, Lawrence Taylor and... I mean, you could almost make the argument for three other guys. I mean, you know, there's other guys, but there's another guy I'm going to name in a second. But, you know, you could almost make the argument for anyone else, but it's got to be Lawrence Taylor, man. I mean, come on. He's the best defensive player of all time.
Right. That's a given. All right. So, all right, Jerry. So give me another guy. Top 10. Off the top of your list, if you start whipping it together quick.
Yeah. Not ranking him, Chris, but I'm going to go with
top 10.
I'm going to go Michael Strahan.
There you go. I got Michael Strahan. So Michael Strahan, definitely the all-time sacks leader, Hall of Famer. I don't think there's any doubt there.
Yeah,
Michael is going to be on a top 10. No question about it, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, Jerry, ready?
Yes.
Harry Carson.
There it is. And Tom just pointed that out. Harry was the bridge upon those whose back the crappy Giants of the Yale Bowl years led to greatness. Yes, yes.
Yes. Remember Harry when he came, when he was drafted? Jerry, you're better at this. Was it 78? When the hell was this?
No, 76 or
76. 76? I remember Harry like it was yesterday. Great, great linebacker. In my opinion, Jerry made the Hall of Fame way too late. He should have been in earlier.
I think it was South Carolina too.
South Carolina. Remember from day one, him walking in camp, and that he was just a great player. When we saw what he did in the 80s, right? He was the glue, right, Jerry? He was the heart and soul.
Yep.
Even though Lawrence was the best.
Yep.
And then Carl Banks did his thing in playoffs. But Harry Carson was that soul, right? The heart that kept that team together, man, a veteran and all that. And he had to deal with his own issues with Lawrence Taylor, kind of keeping him in line sometimes too.
Absolutely.
We know about that, Harry.
Yep.
By the way, somebody tells me a story. Harry Carson, folks, for those who don't know it, he helps players to this day.
Yeah.
There's a safety, I forget his name. It has some problems, has some issues going on, and Harry's there. I don't even want to mention his name. Actually, somebody told me a few things that Harry Carson, Jerry, to this day, takes care of ex-teammates, visits them, financial support, whatever medical needs they need.
Last act.
This is Harry Carson, folks. To this day, takes care of former teammates if they need it. That's the type of guy we are talking about, man. You know, so Jerry, no question. Harry Carson. So we got Carson, Strahan, obviously Lawrence Taylor.
Real quick with Carson, two things. The image of him, of all the plays he made, the image of him I will never forget is standing by himself for the coin toss at Super Bowl 21 with the four Broncos. And I love that. And you know, there were multiple captains on that team, but Parcells said, go, Kyrie, go. And I love that picture of him standing there with the four Broncos. And real quick, it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I was at Newark Airport and I was eating by myself, waiting for a flight. And then I look over and Harry Carson's sitting across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh my God, what's up? Harry Carson, what's up? And he goes, that pizza looked good. And I go, did I eat it that fast? He goes, yeah, you downed it pretty good.
Yeah, just a great guy, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Jerry, I remember being a little kid, man, and his first few training camps up to 80. And, man, he was just there signing autographs for the kids, always coming out. Back then, Jerry, you used to wait in the parking lot for them, you know, training camp, and they'd come out to their cars. And Harry would be one of the first guys out signing autographs for kids. And I remember watching him every Sunday, Jerry, in the late 70s. And obviously, then he started turning around in the early 80s. But I remember the losing years. And I said, man, what a waste of talent this is going to be. This guy is so freaking great. and he's going to play his whole career not with a damn playoff game. That was the feeling at the time, you know, Jerry?
Sure, yep.
Until Parcells came in here and all that stuff. But, man, just a great guy. Got to talk to Harry a few times because he was involved with the Giants, and I saw him in the building a few times over the years. And just a gentleman, dude. And like I said, folks, to this day, when an former teammate needs something,
yeah,
he's in trouble, Harry is there for them. Just an unbelievable, unbelievable Giant, bro.
From Adriana, Harry sounds like such a good dude. He lives in Bergen County. My mom sees him at the ShopRite a lot and says he's so kind, we'll always talk to her. Good stuff, Adriana.
Thank you for that, Adriana. And I tell you, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. You
know? All right, so that's three down. All defense, baby.
Let's do another defensive guy. Go ahead. Oh, I go? Wait a minute. Okay.
No, I'll go.
Go ahead, go.
So we're going to go another defensive player, and I want to make
sure. Top 10 from like 1983 on. Modern Giants winning era.
We're going to go another defense. And there's
come on, Jerry. You're good at this. Top it off.
No, I know. This. Okay, I just want to be.
Jerry with this at the last second.
So make sure I'm respectful. There's a ton to choose from. And listen, man, I know that there's a, you know, kind of a relationship here, but he's forgotten too often. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to go with Carl Banks. Because you go 1980s, you look at the 86 playoffs, with all due respect to Lawrence Taylor, he was the best player on the field. It's not even a question throughout those playoffs. And it's not like he stunk the rest of his career. Yeah, so
he was pretty good.
You know, he was in the shadows.
Ring of Honor player?
Yeah.
Right? Borderline Hall of Famer. We and you both feel he should be in the Hall of Fame. We both feel, I think you're with me on this, that he's, because Harry's in and Lawrence is in, he's not going to get in my opinion. They don't want to put three line. I'm sorry. There's no question about that. I've talked to writers in the past and they basically conceded that, it's going to be tough because of that. You know?
So, Cy Guy Bry asked Rosie Grimmick, the list. You must
have the beginning. From the 80s.
We're
doing this from the 80s on. We're not doing it for the 100 years. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We know the Rosie Grimmick is a gift. It's just having some fun from the 80s on when they turned the tide. Okay.
Yep.
Jerry Banks, Carl Banks, no question about it. I'll never forget the day in 1984 when the Giants took him first pick.
Three overall.
He was number three overall, their first round pick. And I'll never forget me and my father saying, what the hell do we need another linebacker?
Chris, you talk about Rain Man. There's memories I have in my house of the Giants.
Right.
And I don't know why I remember them. My sister saying, we have linebackers coming out of our ass. Why did we take Carl Banks? And I was like, I'm like 9 years old. I'm like, I was like, wow, okay. I just always remember that. So to your point, yeah, right.
And, Carl Banks will tell a great story about how he walked into the locker room his first year and Harry Carson sitting there with Lawrence and like, what the hell are you going to do here? You know, they had Brian Kelly at the time. They had these linebackers all over. And Carson was like, what the hell are you going to do here? Like, oh, he's like, well, we don't need you. You know, as we all know how that turned out, Banks, one of the best linebackers of all time in Giants history, right? Just a great player. And like you said, Jerry, you know, Lawrence Taylor was Lawrence Taylor, the greatest to ever do it. And we've talked about this numerous times, and people, you know, they were like, yo, you guys are right. You know, Carl Banks was better than Lawrence Taylor in the 1986 playoffs, and that's a fact.
Not even a question.
It's not even a question.
Yep.
He was better than Lawrence Taylor in 86 playoffs.
Yep.
And you know, Banks is a guy that well-deserved on this list, in my opinion, just a great, great linebacker, and who also rose the occasion, in big games, bro. Guy who played hurt, you know?
Yep.
Remember him, Jerry, with the cast on, you know?
Covering running backs out of the backfield with one arm. Yeah, that's cool.
Running back, one arm, refused to sit down, he was just a gamer. He did not believe in, sitting out, no matter how hurt he was. He tried to give it a go, and he did with cast on and all that.
Yep.
And he's just that bookend, right, Jerry, the opposite of Lawrence. I think Carl Banks won like 50 plus sacks his career, whatever it was. And he could have had a lot more. He was a rushing outside edge guy that rushed like Lawrence did. You know, I'm not saying he's a Lawrence. I'm just saying he could have had more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
But folks, you know, I remember talking to Brian Baldinger one day, and he said that when they played the Giants, it was, we don't want to run at Banks, not Taylor. It was
Chris,
Banks. They don't want
to. A buddy of mine used to work with Tony Dorsett and said the exact same thing. He said, it's not that we didn't want to run away from Taylor. because he would catch you. I didn't want to run at Carl Banks. That's Tony Dorsett saying it. So come on. So yeah, to your point, Baldinger and Dorsett actually was, I think Baldinger was a Cowboy. So they may have the same mindset. So,
right. So it was, you know, just, it was incredible. And I forget how Banks, one of the best coverage tight ends in the NFL, right? One of the best coverage tight ends. So Banks makes the list, dude. We're both in agreement on that.
Yep, that's
four. Okay, so I have another defensive player. Do you want me to go? Or do you want
Go ahead. No, you're five. Number five.
Okay, so another guy, top 10 from like 1983 on to up to today. Dude, a friend of ours, I still keep in touch with. We talk once in a while. Great guy, Leonard Marshall.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, okay. Absolutely. You have to.
Lenny Marshall, one of the best defensive ends in Giants history, right? Just a phenomenal player, man. Big time in the Super Bowl, killed Joe Montana in the NFC Championship game, all that stuff. Lenny, just a great run-stopping defensive end too, right? Jerry, man, he played the run. Just an unbelievable football player at LSU. Lenny makes my top 10. Jerry, you in agreement with that?
Absolutely, because of the longevity too. I'm putting longevity for the most part on here as well, right? Like there's a guy like Tuck may not make it for me just because he played a while, but he was towards the tail end of his career. There were injuries and stuff like that. I'm just naming him as an example. I haven't thought about it. I don't know if Tuck's going to make it, but I'm just saying. But, you know, Leonard Marshall, he was such a good compliment to Taylor on that line. And when he first got to the league, I remember, you know, watched tons of film and specials on him where I think it was Ronnie Barnes saying how out of shape he was. And he whipped himself into a good player 1 year in 84. And I always remember that play, you know, Big Blue VCR puts it up, when Taylor sacks Danny White in Hogaboom in 84, Andy Hedden picks it up and looks like he's shot out of a cannon. Watch Leonard Marshall running down the field with him. He's right neck and neck with Andy Hedden. Mm-hmm. So he was a fast defensive end as well, almost murdered Joe Montana. So
as we know, he almost literally murdered him. You know, Carl Banks literally told me we thought he was dead.
Yeah, right.
He told me that my phrase call. He goes, we thought he was dead on the field. I mean, he destroyed him. So, but he was just a phenomenal player, Leonard Marshall. Just a phenomenal player. So we both in agreement on Lenny, number 70.
All right, number six. Lisa, you're going to be very happy with my selection here if you're listening. I'm going to go with Eli Manning, obviously. I mean, how could you not?
I agree with you, Jerry. Top 10 Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Leader of Giants, passing yards, all kinds of passing records. Odell comes in, right, in 2014, whatever, and man, rejuvenates him. Phenomenal years.
Yep.
Clutch player, Eli. So many clutch throws, right, to win games. A guy that started off, Jerry, in 04 and – first few years, we were like, oh my God, is this guy really going to be the answer?
we traded up for this guy.
We traded up for, you know what I mean? So we swapped tricks here for this guy.
You know, Lisa is listening. There you go, Lisa. Nice.
There you go, Lisa. Thanks for jumping in there. We're going to have Lisa on, I think, too. We're going to have Lisa on, too. Especially because Lisa, we can talk Italian food, too. All right. Yes. But, you know, but Jerry, yes, Eli Manning, no question about it. Top 10 Giant. He'll be most likely, I think we both agree with this, Jerry. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know.
He'll be in,
but he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
It may not be first ballot, but he'll be in eventually.
Right. So, you know, let's not forget some of the great throws. Mario Manningham.
Oh, forget it.
Forget about that. And I like that. You know, I always like to say this, Jerry, too. You know, that throw to Manningham, one of the best throws in Super Bowl history. Just an incredible throw, right?
Yep.
But, dude, he made so many great reads on that drive that Belichick was throwing different blitzes at him that drive. And he had so many right checks, so many right reads.
Especially when the words out of Belichick's mouth on the sidelines were, it's still a Knicks cruise game, make them go to Manningham. And he did. I mean, that's unbelievable, dude.
Unbelievable. Belichick, who's now dating 24-year-old.
Cheerleaders. Oh my God.
Right. So good for Bill. Happy to see he's doing well.
So funny.
In his off season, you know, and he's not going to be coaching next year. So Jerry, Eli Manning, I mean, I don't think there's any question we have Eli. And I'm going to tell you what, Jerry.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick in a quarterback position.
Oh, nice.
Top 10.
Wait, before you do, guys, we're 20 minutes in already. We're only on six players. We got four more to go. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jared Foley and Chris. Nobody Eats the Biz, Bizzing Nano. We're doing our top 10 Giants from 1984 on. We've gotten through six. Chris, go ahead.
I'm going to stick at the quarterback position. Mr. Number 11, Phil Sims.
Yeah, no argument
there. Top 10 Giant would have been a two-time Super Bowl. He was a two-time Super Bowl champion. Obviously, we know what Haas in 1990, after Phil gets hurt, breaks his leg, and Haas does the rest. But Phil Sims was some phenomenal years. He was great in 86, came up with a huge throw to beat the Vikings in that season, and really, really boom from there on, right? They really blew, forget about from there on. So Phil Sims, dude, another guy, first few years, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is the guy. Parcells comes in, he actually starts Scott Bruno over him. Phil comes back, does the rest. Tough as nails, bro. Phil Sims, tough as nails.
Yeah, I don't know how you felt back then, but I know my father preferred Scott Bruner as well. So I don't know how you felt back then.
So did I.
Right. So it wasn't unheard of that Parcells made that mistake.
So did I. I kind of was like, hey, let's go with Bruner because Sims looks like he's horrible. You know, Sims looks horrible. Bruner
had a playoff win. Yeah. Parcells, you and my father. Like, Sean,
right? And me, your father, and Parcells. I was with him. Believe me, I was with him. I was with your dad, and I was with Parcells at the time when it happened. But we all know how that turned out. Phil Sims, dude, no question. Great years.
Yeah.
Tough as nails, right, Jerry? Makes a big throws. Great, very good arm and all that stuff. So, yeah, no, we're in agreement in that.
Number 11. My favorite throw from Sims was probably – in the 49er game when he got blasted and hit Bobby Johnson in the end zone. I think it was, might've been Ricky Ellison who hit him, but he got like hit in the teeth and got, and he nailed the throw and he got up and he just was, I mean, now he's going through concussion protocol.
He's out. Yeah. Yeah. One of the greatest games I ever seen Phil two, but I think two for 500 yards against Boomer.
And 5'11".
It was
Boomer in Cincinnati.
And unbelievable game, unbelievable game. And he had so many of them, man. And Phil Sims, owe a lot to this guy, man. 86, and obviously still probably the greatest passing game, right, in Super Bowl history still.
22 for 25, three touchdowns, and I think like 280 or something, 283. I forget. But, you know, dude, to beat your best on the most important game in franchise history too, right? Like, come on. It really was, because they hadn't won a championship in 30 years, and he's 22 for 25. And you watch the America's Game special, and Sims is like killing it in practice all week, and Parcells is like, save some for the game, Phil. And he just said he felt so great.
Thank you, John. I see John put in 268.
There it is. Nice. Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate that, John.
Thank you, John. So, I got Sims. We're in agreement on that.
All right. That's seven, right?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. Yes.
All right. Now, I'm going to go a little controversial here, guys, but
it's all right. It's our list. This was having fun.
When you look at the numbers, you can't argue it. I'm going to go Tiki Barber.
And I'm with you.
There it is.
And I'm with you. Tiki Barber.
And it shouldn't be that controversial. It's not like he, come on. He had his opinions and that was it. So whatever.
Look, I understand the way Tiki went out and all that stuff, said some things, but here's the facts. 10,000 rushing yards.
Yeah.
All-time lead in Russia.
1,800 in 2005, right? Or something. Right. I mean, it was ridiculous.
But he had that five-year run, Jerry, where he was insane as a running back.
Absolutely insane.
I mean, Tiki's, one of the best backs in Giants history. And the time, the era we're talking about, Tiki Barber was one of the best Giants. I know people, you know, I'm gonna like that probably because, you know, Eli comments and all that stuff, but you know, he retires in 06, he leaves the game, 07, he won the Super Bowl.
He retired at the top of his game, too. He was incredible.
Look, Tiki was incredible in that stretch. He was an unbelievable running back, running and receiving. And I'm with you, dude. I got Tiki myself.
All right, so, man.
He makes it. Jerry?
Number nine. No, it's getting a little tougher now. It's going to be a little tougher now. But
I think not because he's Italian.
Yeah, it's fine. I agree. I totally agree with this.
Not because I love him. Nah. But how about our boy, Mark Bavaro?
Come on.
Top 10. One of the best tight ends ever. We all know Mark's story. Yep. Tough as nails. Yeah. Carrying guys all over the field.
Yeah.
Rambo, even Parcells was afraid of him. Even Parcells says, man, I don't want to fight that guy. They're looking in his eyes.
Yep.
Mark Bavaro, dude, I think you're in agreement with me. Top 10 in his 80s on.
Yeah.
Two-time Super Bowl winner, dude. I got him. I'm sorry. To me, he was just, man, he just was.
Because he was the best in his position for like a three-year period. He was the best in the NFL. I mean, there's not even a question. And that's the thing, Chris, right? Like, you look at that team, and sorry, this is 86-centric, but like, it's also staying power, right? Like, Bavaro, LT, Carson, Banks, like, they were arguably the best of their positions for a few years there in the entire NFL. So, you know, how can you not say, right?
Yep. No question. Bavaro, top 10.
Now, Bradley, I like the opinion. Otis makes my top 10. On the side note, Gary Reason's fake punt against the Niners would be my top 10 playoff. Oh, that's a good, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we might even, you know what, Jay, we might even do that down the road before.
Over the next 5 weeks.
Maybe top 10 top plays. You know, that's a good idea. We'll do something like that, top 10 plays.
Yeah. Yep.
In the era that we're talking about, too. You know, that'd be pretty interesting. I know the Giants got their, you know, their plays out there and all that stuff. So, but, you know, doesn't mean it's going to be the same as what we're thinking. You know,
right.
So, anyway. So, Jerry, we got, what, 9, right?
This is hard. This is not easy now because there's a few guys. This last one
is going to be tough, dude.
And we're probably going to be different. There's a few guys dancing around my head.
I'm glad I went last because that means you're going to have to go with this thing.
Yeah. Look, I'm trying not to be like, well, he was my favorite, right? Like, I don't want to go that route. I'm trying to be like fair here. So there's a few guys, right? There. I mean, I think Otis Anderson would be a consideration, right? Like you said. I mean, I love Jesse Armstead. I wore his jersey for all three of my kids' births. I wanted them to see that number when they came out first. I know I'm insane, but I love Jesse Armstead. He was undersized and played like a complete animal. I loved him. He was intense. He was straight hands, like right hand man. Oh my God, Jesse Armstead's up there. There's Mark Collins. You know, there's a lot of names, right? Hakeem Nicks, guys, this is so hard, 10, but I'm going to have to make a decision, and I'm going to stick with my original Jesse. I'm going Jesse Armstead.
Don't forget Toomer, too.
I know, and Monty Toomer. I kind of wanted to put a receiver in there, too, but it's like, you know what, dude? I'm going to go Armstead. Talk about a guy, right? Like, and in this modern era, I don't know if he'll still be on the team. He was drafted in 93 at, like, the 8th round, which isn't a round anymore, and he didn't really start playing until, like, 96, because Dan Reeves didn't know what to do with him. He was making him a safety or a linebacker. He was like a hybrid. And then in 96, he kind of came on strong. 97, All-Pro, 98, 99, 2000. I think he made the Pro Bowl 5 straight years, right? And he still should have had a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but was called back on a bullshit play called Keith Hamilton's hold. They wouldn't have won the game, but he should have had a touchdown. I'm going Jesse Armstead. That's it. It is what it is.
There you go. And that's a solid pick, buddy. And this we're down to number 10.
Yeah.
And this is tough. So let me tell you my thought process, Jerry, on this.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth too, dude. I had Toomer in the mix. I have Toomer.
Yeah.
All-time leading receiver, right? Mark Collins.
Yep.
I had Jesse.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth. And it's tough. You know, it's so – Otis Anderson is a guy that only – the thing was Otis was only there a few years. So
exactly.
And Otis did – we all know what Otis did.
Yeah. And he sat the bench for a few years too because of Joe Morris.
Right. I was even thinking Joe Morris. Sure. I was thinking Joe Morris too.
Rodney Hampton was another one I had.
You know, so it's a tough one going back and forth. But you said, Jerry, like five Pro Bowls in a year?
Five in a row. Yeah.
And I kind of narrowed it down between him and Toomer because Toomer, the all-time leading receiver, he made a lot of big plays too, Imani, you know?
Yep.
But I went the dominant 5 years in a row. I went with Jesse Armstead because he was eighth round pick, like you said, right?
Yeah.
And he's not, he wasn't even eight rounds anymore.
No.
So right now he'd be like an undrafted free agent guy, right? Yep. So dominant player. He was just phenomenal player, man. You know, for all those years. So I know he never won the Super Bowls and all that stuff. But dude, I'm going with Jesse Armstead too, narrowly over Armani Tuma.
Yeah.
You know, Armani was part of, you know, the 07 team, right?
Yep.
And he did, you know, he's got all the records there, a lot of the records, man.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go with Jesse too, dude. A lot of defense on his top 10.
Well, top 10 that matched. Unbelievable. I didn't think we were matching. I really didn't.
Yeah, I thought we would be different on one. I figured the last one, just one, we'd be different. Or maybe you might go Joe Morris or Tuma or something like that.
The strongest consideration was Rodney Hampton because of how he carried that franchise when they sucked. But I went with Armstead. Armstead was better.
Yeah, because he was just so dominant. Jesse was a phenomenal linebacker.
Yes. Yeah. And gets forgotten too. Right.
And gets forgotten. No question about it. Look, there are a lot of other, like the Collins, the Tumas. You could make an argument for all those folks.
Yeah.
No question about it. Even Victor Cruz, that short. Yeah. No question.
Yeah. Mark Morin, you're absolutely right.
You know, hey, listen, you know, you could even, people could turn around and say, hey, how about Odell? Look what he did the first three. You know what I mean? I get it. I get it. I would have Odell on the list. He had 3 great years, but I'm not going to put Odell on the list. But I would see people coming in with that. You know what I mean?
So, another consideration for me was Plax, just because of how he changed the offense and how he basically was Eli's guy. I know how he left. I get it. And it was a short period of time. But, you know, he was a dominant wide receiver for them. I mean, the Green Bay playoff game where he just, what is it? Al Harris must be cold because he's getting undressed, was the announcer. So,
look, there's so many good players. Yeah, I see somebody put middle linebacker coach, Antonio Pierce, but top 10 great Giant. I mean, we're not doing that. Keith Hamilton, the Hammer, was, you know, he was obviously a very good Giant for years, but we're talking kind of like the top 10, who you feel the top 10 best Giants were in this era that we're talking about. Even Mark Collins, phenomenal player.
And he was probably the best corner arguably the best corner they've ever had.
Right. And I'm sure if Mark watches this podcast, because I'm going to put something on Twitter anyway, Mark will probably text me and curse me out.
He's going to be pissed.
Saying, where the hell am I on that list and all that stuff? So it'll be fun. But so, hey, Jerry, we had some fun with it.
Yeah.
People chime in. Yeah. You know, who you feel. Maybe
we and who'd you disagree with? Like, right? Like, we're not.
Maybe you disagree with one of the guys. You know, we all get it. It's all fun. I don't think anybody's going to say, why do you have Lawrence Taylor on the list? You know, so, you know, but good list, Jerry. So many good players, right?
Yeah.
And I think we got it pretty good, bro. I think we got I'm sure there could be a few people like, I don't know about that, you know, but I think we hit it pretty good, man.
Yeah, and again, it would be interesting to see 11 through 20, because then I think we'd probably be 3 or 4 different at least, right?
Yeah, we might be. Yeah.
You know, we just named a lot of guys that were on the bubble, so we would have named those 4, and then it gets interesting after that. I wanted to put a lineman on there too, but they couldn't. Like, if Andrew Thomas continues to play the way he plays, like, he would make a top 10 list. But, like, I'm thinking, like, Bart Oates. Like, Bart Oates was great, but is he top 10 worthy? Like, Jumbo Elliott? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Chris Snee, you know, trying to – they had good lines, but there wasn't that, like, Anthony Munoz type that just jumped out at you, right? Brad Benson, you know?
Yeah, no, not that way. I guess if we had to pick one, Jerry – if we had to pick one, say, hey, listen, you guys got to pick one.
Yeah.
Would it be Jumbo? You know, I might have to go with Jumbo.
I'd probably go Snee.
There you go. That's a good pick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good pick. By the way, you wouldn't even recognize Chris Snee.
He's lost so much weight.
Dude, he walked by me at one of the OTAs. I said, Chris, I didn't even recognize you. I said, he walked by me, didn't even know it was him.
Yeah.
He lost so much weight and all that stuff. But yeah, no, look, Jerry, that's a solid pick too, bro. You know, that's a solid pick, you know. So if you had to pick one, you know, and all that stuff. So
I love this stuff. Rich Savner says Seahorn, Collins, Webster, rank them. Go ahead.
Look, I'm going to favor Mark Collins there.
Yes, agree.
I'm going to favor Mark Collins. He was a phenomenal physical corner. I'm going to go Collins, Seahorn, and then Webster.
Absolutely, the way it should be. That's and Seahorn could have been just stupid kick return. Damn it.
Yeah, but you know, Rich, when you got guys like Jerry Rice saying Mark Collins was my biggest, you know, challenge.
Yep.
One of the toughest corners I ever played against, if not the toughest. That tells you something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we knew, Rich. Thanks.
The greatest receiver. You know.
Corey Webster, not Alex, right? Yeah, right. Right.
No, I think you meant Corey. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. And Rice said that. And even Collins said he didn't have as much trouble with him. You remember who Collins said he had the most trouble with?
Yes, but hold on. Let me think. I remember him saying that to us. Oh, man. Oh, Art Monk.
Yeah.
Art Monk, yes.
Nice.
I remember him saying
that. And what a good guy Art Monk was. Like, that doesn't make me mad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, yes. he was great. You know, like, come on.
Oh, Art Monk was phenomenal. Art
ridiculous
Monk
player.
He was a ridiculous receiver. Yeah. And yes, I do remember Mark saying that Art Monk was the toughest receiver. Not even Jerry. Imagine that.
Art it's Monk. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. You talk to these guys and you ask them who was the toughest guys you went against. It's amazing, right? You think you know the answers and you really don't sometimes, you know?
So Bradley says, Howard Cross for longevity, great blocking tight end. Yeah, if we did a longevity one, Howard Cross would be right at the top with Eli and Jeff Eagles, right? But yeah. But yeah, and look, that's a part of the fun, man. There's so many. Isn't it funny, dude, that as bad as Giants football has been the last 5 years, we just rattled off great guys from the 80s and 90s yeah. that when it was so much fun, dude, and early 2000s, you know, Eli and all and Tiki. But
yeah. And look, you know, guys like Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah.
Great years. Some great yep. years. Victor Cruz. Yep. Some great years. Odell. Some great years, you know?
Yep. Yep.
You could talk about guys. It's you know, blocking. There you go. How about Charles Wade for blocking? Full. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, if we had a fullback. Okay, name a fullback. And I tell you what. Speaking of that.
Oh yeah.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yep.
All right.
I think.
Yeah, you probably are. Speaking of fullback, Charles Wade was a very good fullback. But dude, Maurkice Cawthorn was insane. You know, I was watching that 1990s Super Bowl. It was on the NFL Network the other day in the morning. And I was watching the Giants Bills. Dude, Maurkice Cawthorn was just blowing people up, man. It was like the Giants had certain plays that, like, yeah, we're going to run the ball. Go ahead, stop it. You know? And Maurkice Cawthorn was leading the way, man. Yep. It was, man. You know, so.
Ooh. Yeah. Rich asked another good question. Better free agent signing, Kareem McKenzie or Plax? That's a good question.
That's a really good question. I tell you, man.
Ooh, that's a coin flip.
Plax kind of changed the offense. Yeah. You know,
he's dynamic.
But Kareem McKenzie was maybe the best free agent signing. Man, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. McKenzie was so good. The better one, I'm gonna have to go because you need it all up front. McKenzie was phenomenal. You know what? I'm gonna take the political way out. It's a tie.
No, I don't think you're. I know it's not hard. And McKenzie was on both Super Bowls, right? He was on the 2011 one as well. You know, I think, yeah, he was. Plax, Plax just changed the offense in 05. And they came over the same year, 05, together. I'll barely go with Plax, but I'm not in love with it. They're both ridiculous.
Yeah, that was two great signings. Plax did so many great things. And McKenzie was so, what a great signing that was. Put him at right tackle, and he was phenomenal for the Giants. Phenomenal. You know, so
yeah, like I said, I remember a Jets fan telling me he stinks. I'm like, okay.
Well it's thanks. A Jets fan, Jerry.
Good job, buddy. Good job.
I think you just got your answer right there. So, you know, so yeah, good stuff, dude. You know, we could have a lot of fun with this, but I noticed not many people, you know, about, hey, I don't know about that one you guys picked. And I know, so it looks like a lot of people basically in agreement. I don't know how many people we have on right now.
542 right now.
Wow, there's a lot of people on. You know, I don't see any. I don't see anybody really saying, I wouldn't have put that guy on the list that we put on.
So. Yeah, even Tiki Barber wasn't. I thought that pick
I
might
thought
be a
Tiki
little.
Tiki would be like, we can't put him on because it's Tiki. Yeah. But I think you know, Giant fans are pretty smart. I think they're saying, well, you know what, Tiki might be Tiki, but he was one of our best backs, you know, and all that stuff. And
you know, it's funny. You mentioned Hakeem Nicks before, and he was so good, and that foot injury that really ended his career in 2012. Really.
Yeah,
it was like the Tampa Bay game. I think he went off that. Him and Cruz went off in that game. But I remember calling the fan in 2011. I called Carton and Boomer, and I was arguing with Carton because I was nuts. And I said, he was talking about Victor Cruz is the focal point. I said, who's Revis going to be covering? And he wouldn't answer. He's like, Cruz, okay, who's Revis covering? Who's Revis covering, Craig? And he wouldn't answer, and he hung up. And I just, really? And then he went on vacation the next week. Yeah,
really?
I was right. Well, why did Knicks have such a tough game that one? And why did Cruz go off? Okay. Right. Thanks, Craig. I enjoy Carton show on TV. I'm just saying, like, I'm not picking on him, but he hung up and then he took vacation the next week. I never got to prove my point. So I'm doing it now on the podcast. So,
I'm surprised you weren't like a stalker calling in after that game when he came back from vacation. Go, I told you.
It was more like relief that they made the playoffs after beating Dallas. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you're right. Back then, that was insane. I know.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, Darrell, you know, they used to. Rex Ryan used to have Darrell travel with the other team's best receivers. You know,
and he was covering Knicks almost the entire game.
Knicks a lot that game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Darrell was one of the best I've ever seen. So
yeah, he was.
But that's, you're right, Jerry. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Victor went off. Yep. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so he was a pretty damn good number two receiver, that Victor Cruz. You know.
Yeah.
So hey, listen, yeah, some good thing, you know, some good conversations, some great plays. You know, we named Super Bowl winning guys.
Yep.
And it all. I'm sure they're all going to be on that top 100 list that's coming out real soon, you know, for the Giants. So,
yep. All right, guys, we're 40 minutes in and we've got our guest waiting backstage. We will let him in as soon as we get back. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody Beats the Biz Ignano, and our special guest, a guy who has asked really good questions over the last, I don't know, year. Dan, the man, I have no better nickname for you, Dan. I'm sorry, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, man? How's it going, fellas? Hey, I just want to say I approve of your Tiki Barber pick.
Oh, nice. All right.
I figured you would. You're a Virginia guy, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yep. Well, Dan, you know what, brother? Welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast, my man. We're glad to have you on. You know, we talked about you for a few weeks. We were going back and forth and, you know, sometimes some guys catch our eye a lot. You know, I get a million tweets and then people, you know, doing the comments while we do the podcast. And you come up with a lot of good stuff. You know, I got to be honest with you, Dan. Me and Jerry, we both thought you were like 50 plus years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You seem to have knowledge going back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you hit it on the head. And I remember at first, I think I said to Jerry, I said, this dude's got to be.
Chris, to your point, how's Dan Young that young? That's
there
great.
There you go. So at first, you know, me and Jerry were talking and I was like, this dude Dan's got to be our age, Jerry. You know, I got only a few years of Jerry, you know, I'm not that old.
Right.
You know, but and then I find out, I think you DM'd us or something and you're like 37, Dan? How old are you?
I'll be 32 in August.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I thought you were 37. So you're 32. All right, Dan. So tell us first off, did you grow up in Virginia? How'd you become a Giants fan and all that? Go ahead.
Yep. So I'm from Virginia, from Richmond, Virginia. And so my dad's a Dallas fan. My grandpa was a Washington fan.
Whoa.
And around the time I was 8 years old, my older sister had acting camp up in New York. So my grandparents and my mom went to go drop her off. It was in like upstate New York.
Okay.
And then on the way back, when my mom went to go pick her up, she said, okay, we're taking a charter bus. Do you want to go? We're picking her up in New York City.
Okay.
And I said, let's do it. I've never been to a big city. Let's do it. And I enjoyed the city so much. That was August of 2000. And I didn't have a football team picked yet. And I was like, you know, I really love New York so much. I like the Giants or the Jets. Thank God I went with the Giants.
Right, yes.
I'm surprised your grandfather didn't, like, pump it into your head that, you know, you're rooting for Washington. You know what I mean? I'm surprised.
Yeah, I guess he just wasn't that kind of guy, but.
Yeah. But me and Jerry are. That's what I'm saying.
No, we are. Yeah, yeah.
You're rooting for the Giants, guy.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this. He failed at it with my dad, so he probably didn't even feel like trying it with me.
So you come to New York, right, to pick up your sister. And you say, you know what? I don't have a football team, and this feels right. Giants or Jets? And then you realize the Jets are total losers. And you said, you know what? I'm going with Big Blue. And from there on, you became a diehard Giants fan.
It was instant, man. I'm telling you, like that season. And I think it's just funny how that season they end up going to the Super Bowl.
That is – what year is this, 2000?
Yeah. The 2000 season, yep.
So, obviously, they go to Super Bowl. They have a great year that year. Obviously, we know what happened in Super Bowl. But still, they win all those games. They go to Super Bowl. Wow. That is an amazing – you know, I didn't know if you had a Giants in your family, Dan, or somebody, like, you know, that was a big Giants fan that kind of influenced you. So, you go to the city, and you just felt right. That's great.
Well, this is kind of – I think it was kind of fate because My uncle, so my aunt's brother-in-law, her brother-in-law worked for ABC back in like the 1980s, 1990s. And my uncle and aunt went to Super Bowl 25 down in Tampa Bay. Mm. And he came back with a whole bunch of just normal t-shirts that said Super Bowl 25. And there was one lying around the house years after I was a Giants fan. I discovered it and I said, this was meant to be.
Wow, that's great the way that worked out. Now, Dan, let me ask you, do you catch Giant games? Do you come up? Do you drive up and go to any Giant games, or are you just watching home?
So I've been to a few. I went to both Giants Washington games in 2011.
Okay.
And then I went to the Giants Washington game in 2013 and in 2015. Those are the only games.
Oh, the 2011 one must have sucked. They lost both.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just saying. Like,
no.
That was Akeem. Rips it off real quick.
Akeem Nicks got hit in the face with the ball in that one on a bomb. And I was like, my God.
I don't remember that play at all. Jeremy, the Rain Man remembers this crap. I don't remember how to.
The only thing that made the game at MetLife Stadium worth it, and I still am just flabbergasted to this day, I actually sat front row for that game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
There was one ticket available. And it was like $175 on StubHub. And I said, screw it. I'm doing that. I'm taking the bus up there. I'm going by myself. So and that made enjoyment. And then, but I knew after that Washington game, I said, we got two games at MetLife. We're going to run the table. We're going to beat the Patriots again.
Wow. I guess I did not feel that way at all. After they lost that game, I was like, oh, we stink. That first Washington game, that was the one where Cruz finally got in and dropped like an easy one. And I thought, this guy's never going to do anything. I remember. Yeah. It was like,
you hit that on the head, Jeff.
Yeah, right. No, again, I'm really good at nail. I remember things. I just can't nail the future very well. That's all.
So when Kerrigan got the pick six in that game, this is exactly what I did. He hit the ball and I went and I just covered my face. And then I heard the crowd erupt. I said, yeah. I knew it was a pick six.
I mean, every damn game he played against Ryan Kerrigan, he did something. Sack, full strip sack, interception return. That guy was a pain in the Giants' ass from day one.
Dan, Bradley's asking a question. I think you're going to be insulted by it, but I'll ask anyway. Who were the three Giant running backs, Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Brandon Jacobs, Derek Ward, Mod Bradshaw.
All right, Brad, I think you got to get up a little earlier to ask Dan these questions, buddy. I'm sorry. Thanks for contributing. I'm just joking.
So, Dan, really impressed with a lot of the stuff you tweet at us and comments. You know, you really know your Giants, brother. I give it. It seems like you're a little like a fanatic, man. You really live and die with this team, don't you?
I do, man. I'll tell you, I'm diehard. I'm just diehard sports. I love all my teams, and I watch everything, man. My buddies give me crap about all the time. They're like, "What sport do you not watch?"
Like, well, who's your other teams, Dan?
Well, I was gonna say that's like Chris. Chris can watch two guys flipping a coin, and it's like I'd like be interested in it. Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
So who's your other teams? Basketball, hockey, and baseball.
This combination is gonna make you. You're gonna be wild at this. So obviously, I like UVA in college. And then, so New York Giants, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Wow. Anaheim Ducks and the Denver Nuggets.
You're a weirdo. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And who was the last one?
Who's the last one?
And the Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets?
Is that because of Jokic or no?
Carmelo, actually.
Oh, original Carmelo. Okay. That's all right.
So UVA basketball absolutely sucked in the early 2000s and have sucked actually for a while. Not until Tony Bennett came in. And I liked Carmelo so much in that run with Syracuse. I just liked how he played. And everybody was LeBron James was jumping on that. And I said, I'm all right with Carmelo. So.
Well, Carmelo was phenomenal that one year. And so he was. Yeah.
And how the Anaheim Mighty Ducks? Yeah, Paul Kariya?
Just because a lot of people think it's because of the Mighty Ducks movies, but it's actually the Mighty Ducks cartoon when I was a kid.
Really? Okay. That's what attracted you to the team.
Yeah, that was it.
That's unbelievable, right, Jerry? No, who's the other team? Baseball, I'm sorry? How'd you become a Dodger?
So, Dodgers took me a little bit. Like, I liked the Baltimore Orioles when I was younger. Everybody tried to get me the Atlanta Braves and all that. And then I had this teacher, I'll give him a shout out if he's listening, Mr. Vega. And he was from Brooklyn, and he had grown up there when the Dodgers were still there.
And oh, he's the old guy. Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And just how he talked about the Dodgers, I was like, I like this, man. This teacher's cool. So I roll with him. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I just want to call out Tuto again. Always contributes. Yeah. Superimposing hit my body again. Yeah. Thanks, Tuto. Yeah. Really appreciate that. Thanks for the support, man. You're always calling us out, and what a good dude. Dan, you've now brought in revenue for the podcast. You can come on anytime you want. Appreciate it, buddy.
I love it, man. Yeah, Tuto is awesome.
So, yeah, Dan, I guess you were a little upset in 2018 when the Sox kicked the crap out of your Dodgers in the World Series, huh?
There it is.
I was expecting it. So I wasn't as upset.
Well, and that's not being honest. You won a game in about 25 innings, that one game you won. So you should be happy about that.
When did the Devils beat the Ducks? Was that 2000?
2003.
Wow, so were you a fan then?
That was the very first year I rooted for them.
And Correa almost died from Scott Stevens and then scored. I never saw anything like that. I mean, the Devils still won, but Paul Correa was laid out like he was dead, got up and scored after. I was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. I didn't know if you were a fan that age.
That was, yeah, it's crazy how it happened with them and with the Giants. First year I started rooting for them. Like I said, beginning of the season. So it's not like I caught on in the playoffs or anything. And they both ended up losing in the championship, but getting to the championship was still a fun experience.
So Dan, did you hear the list? And what did you have any differences? And I don't, you know, we welcome the opinion if you did.
Nah, I wrote them down as I were saying them. I didn't really have.
Now the 80s are a little before 80s and 90s a little before you, but you know, I mean, were there any differences that you saw that were noticeable?
No, not really. I agree with most of them. I think, I'm trying to think if there was one. I mean, y'all said the Plexico Burress. And that's more of a subjective, I'd say, because you know, when we got him, I mean, gosh, like I obviously loved the Monty Tumor, loved Ike Hilliard.
Yeah, that was Chris's other one. Monty Tumor.
Oh, Ike Hilliard?
No, Monty Tumor.
Oh, Monty Tumor. Yeah, I had a buddy who actually was a big Ike Hilliard fan.
What does this mean, Jerry? Liam?
Stevens? I don't know. I saw that too. Stevens had to reap a soul for each cup.
I don't know. What do you mean by that, Liam? Before I go off on you, what exactly do you mean by that? Okay. So, Dan, let me ask you this, brother. You know, we go to the playoffs 2 years ago. Giants go to the playoffs 2 years ago. Daves and all that, right? Last year, obviously, it goes south. So, what are you feeling about this team this year? Do you like Dable, Shane? And I'm going to, in a better, I guess, how about Daniel Jones? How are you feeling about him going this year? How are you feeling about this team? Are you a Jones fan? Do you feel confident with him and all that? Yeah, let us have it.
I'll tell you, I love Shane and Dable. I'll say that right at the top. And I'll tell you, Daniel Jones, we know what happened last year. I mean, it was a total – I was watching another podcast that was talking about it the other day, and they said – they were talking about the Daniel Jones situation. They said, yeah, everything went wrong last year.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everything went wrong. Obviously, they tore his ACL.
It's true.
And then I was talking with a buddy the other day. He's all hyped up about Washington and Jaden Daniels. And then
mm-hmm. As you should.
And I said, Malik Nabers, I said, I'm looking forward to him. Mm-hmm. And his comment back to that said, you know, Daniel Jones has never had a true number one.
And he's right.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And look, me and Jerry talk about this, right, Dan? You know, and I know people don't want to hear, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I don't give a shit. Oh, yeah. He's not going to do any evil with a number one. But it is a fact. That's a fact. Daniel's never had a true number one. And the hope is that he now has that. And Dan, as you know, as you've been listening, I'm sure, to my OTA and mandatory camp reports, dude, watching this kid up close, I'll be surprised if he's not a number one this year, dude. I got to be honest with you. That's how good he looks when you watch him. I know it's shorts. But of course, it's shorts. I know that's common. That's the expectation. You know, so I think they're going to have that number one for Daniel and that game breaker that, you know, that could do it all. So that's the hope. So how you feeling, Dan? Do you feel this team could win 7, 8, 9 games? Are you worried about what are you worried about and all that?
So, I mean, I think we always have to worry about the offensive line, right?
Yeah. Good call, Dan.
You know, I mean, now you've been at the OTAs. Have you seen anything that you've liked with the new offensive line coach, Priscilla?
You know what, Dan? It's just too early to tell, bro. It's just too early. When they put the pads on a little bit, hit up a little bit, then you start seeing. But you know what, Dan? You know, there's only certain things you can really check out in these OTAs and in the mini camps. That isn't really one of them. You know, you're not going to really know that until they start hitting a little bit. You know, so we'll
Chris, real quick, Liam explains himself. Stevens destroyed an opposing player on Jersey's Cup runs. Eric Andrews was another player that wasn't the same after they were hit by Stevens in the playoffs.
Okay. Oh, what a shame about that. Well, that's what happens when you play, you know, Scott Stevens. You better have your head up, you know.
But when you were saying the – do I think we can win 8-9 games? Yeah, I think we can.
What is there been anything that Shane's done so far other than forget Daniel Jones' contract? That's easy. Anything he's done so far that you've disagreed with? Like, it could be a draft pick, free agency, anything?
Could we seek one?
Yeah, right. Walking away? Right. What have you disagreed with?
Letting Saquon walk?
Well, whatever the thing is.
Well, whatever you might disagree with. Yeah, say, hey, right. Joe should have signed Saquon, or something like that.
Yeah, there was something. There was something. I'm trying to think, like something I disagree with.
Because at the time, again, not knowing the future, I hated the Wandale Robinson draft pick, and now all I keep saying is I can't wait to see Wandale Robinson this year. So I know.
I just remember things.
I can't predict the thing. So yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not trading Kadarius Toney quick enough. I don't know.
No, that's funny. Yeah, nice. Okay.
There's a lot of stuff. There's nothing.
For the most part, you're satisfied with Shane, and there's nothing that jumps out at you. That's fine. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think if I really dug in, I could find something. But
sure. Yeah, just something that came off the top of you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I got a lot of faith in both of them.
All right. Cool.
That's good because some people start losing. I think you should, Dan. You know, I think, but this is also going to be a big year too, Dan. You know, this is going to be because you know we've talked about it. Daniel falls on his, you know what, his ass, and his people are going to have to answer some questions about why he didn't go quarterback and all that stuff. You know, so it's going to be an interesting year. Put it that way, it really is. So, Dan, let me ask you this, brother. What was your attraction to the Giant Insider, the Twitter, and the podcast? You know, how did you find us and all that stuff? Did somebody tell you about us, or you just came across us? And what do you like? And what would you say? You guys are buffoons. What would it be?
So I was on. I think I was on Bleacher Report one time, and it was when all the Odell Beckham stuff was happening, and all like where were we going to trade him and all that stuff, and. All they were highlighting tweets that were related to the Giants on the Bleacher Report Giants page. And I saw y'all's tweet. I can't remember what y'all said, but y'all said something that was just really hit home. I loved. And I said, these guys, I need to listen to these guys for Giants news from now on.
No, that's cool. Awesome.
And that the rest is history.
Yeah. And I didn't even know. And it said y'all had a podcast and I went, I hadn't even really listened to that many podcasts up to that point.
Right.
And I said, Giants podcast, I'm all in on that.
Our first one, we didn't even know what we were doing. I was like, I still couldn't get used to talking into a microphone in my house. I'm like, this is just so weird. Like if you can find it, the first podcast has to be so clunky and just like, okay, Chris, what do we think about this? And oh my God. So if you listen from that point on, you really like us a lot. I was going to ask you, I see you wearing the Strahan. Who's your favorite player on the Giants now?
Favorite player right now? That's tough. That's actually a very tough question.
It is. Not easy. Right.
So many of them come and go.
Or whose jersey would you buy next?
Oh, whose jersey? I don't want to say Malik Nabers. I want to go with somebody. You know what? I don't know why this didn't come off top. Andrew Thomas, that's my favorite Giant right now.
There you go. All right, cool. Good one.
Wow. Nice. How about that, Jerry? An offensive lineman.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Awesome. Right? Usually it's a running back, defensive, you know, edge guy, you know, linebacker. Yeah. This guy does offensive line. I like it. I'm going to tell you this, though, Dan. I'm going to make a prediction, all right? Give it to Halloween, and you're going to be like, if we have you on again, you're going to be like, oh, you're going to tweet at us. You're going to be like, yo, Biz, it's Malik Nabers.
Right. I'll probably have the picture for you, said. I got it. It just came in the mail, you know.
So, Dan, you have any friends down in Virginia that are Giants fans, too? Or are you like the sole warrior heading into battle?
I have a few. And I had this one guy I used to hang out with that was – their family was from New York. And I'd go there. They had the DirecTV Sunday ticket. and I went over there, watched the games all the time. But they moved, and so yeah, I got a few allies, but now most of the time I got the guys I watch games with: Cowboys fan, Packers fan, Chiefs fan, Panthers fan, a whole mix of fans.
So when the Giants play Washington, which is the second game of the year this year, do you have a bunch of Washington fans? You guys sit around and watch the game and go at it, or are you just are you one of those guys like me when I was younger? I had to be by myself because I was a total lunatic.
No, it's not lunatic. It's fine. Go ahead.
So my buddy that's a Packers fan, he has like he's gone all out in his garage. He has like 5-6 TVs in there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I go over there most when he's hosting. I go over there, but I might actually me and my one buddy that's a Giants fan that we've kind of reconnected last few years. We're talking about going to the game in week 2.
Oh, nice! That's awesome.
Good.
Dan, I was gonna say real quick. My niece is a Giants fan, and she married a Packer fan, and they wanted to go to Giants Packers together. And they asked if I was going. I said no. They said, "Can we buy your tickets?" I said, no, your husband's a Packers fan. I'm not doing that for Wellington Mara. So,
that is how it's done.
Yeah, some of us take it a little too seriously, Dan. So it's good that you have friends that are other teams' fans, and you can get together and be a human being about it. So,
that must be an interesting Thanksgiving.
Not get heated though. Yeah.
No, I'm sure it does, and that's why I can only watch a game with Giant fans or by myself. Like, it's just got to be Giant fans because I can't. I get up and leave. Like, I can't go to a bar. Like, go to a Giant, watch Giants Eagles at a bar, be like, yeah, I'm gonna get arrested here. Forget it. I'm gonna get my ass kicked, and I'm gonna get arrested.
Yeah, no. Watching Giants games at a bar down here can be a little tough sometimes, not because of the rowdiness, but just because, especially lately, when the Giants are not doing so well,
right?
They rag on you, you know, constantly.
Yeah, nice. What team you
hate the most, Dan?
Yeah.
Of Philadelphia.
One in Dallas? Okay. I like it.
100 times more than Dallas, Chris.
Really?
So is it because of their dominance or are there Eagle fans near you?
So there are so one bar I go to, there are a lot of Eagles fans that show up there. Mm. But it really wasn't even before they started dominating us. It wasn't even that. It's just
yeah, no.
Like I said, everything with me loving the Giants came natural. I just knew I hate you. Like, Philly, I hate you. Yeah, I just knew it even before I read a history and all that. Yeah.
It's like a boa constrictor and a mongoose right there. Nice. Good one. All right, Jerry, anything else, buddy?
Nah, good stuff, Dan. We really appreciate you coming on. And
do you ever take the trip up to training camp? Do you ever do that?
No, I've never done that. So that'd be cool to do that one day.
If you ever do take the ride up, you know, for training camp, make sure you reach out to me. You know what I mean? I like to meet you in person and stuff like that. So it'd be pretty cool, you know. You'd be surprised. I meet people from all over Connecticut, you know, for these training camps. They come from all over. You'd be surprised, you know. So if you ever do take the trip up, you decide whatever, let me know, dude. And you know, obviously we're only a month away from that now, you know. So
we'll see. We'll see if I pull some strings, maybe, you know. Maybe I'll make it up there.
So Dan, stay on. With us, we're probably gonna. I want you to take us out. We'll come back next week. We'll let you guys know what night and what we're gonna talk about, what we're gonna have on. But Dan, I know they were on before. Eli from New York Revival screwed this up twice. Can you end the podcast for us with the line?
Sundays are Giant days, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Great job, Dan. Thank you, brother.
Nice.
Absolutely, man.
All right, guys.
Be good.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.